The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this year marks 30 years since the Divorce Act 1996 came into effect in Ireland. So the question is, how has separation, divorce and family breakdown changed in those three decades? Michelle Brown is a divorce mediator and family mediation specialist and author of Scars of Divorce, which is a great title for a book. Michelle, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, tell me about the ambition when we introduced the divorce jurisdiction here, what we hoped to achieve, and did we achieve it?
Well, thankfully, we have achieved it. We have the ability to divorce, I suppose, with the Divorce Act. I'm sure you remember 30 years ago, it is a landmark anniversary as to the way we were beforehand with the ban. But it has allowed us to leave a marriage, I suppose, and we have seen over the last 30 years how we have improved how we can leave a marriage. So the act in itself is imperfect, but what we have done to help couples, I suppose, is rather significant in those years.
People used to be, before this, legally enslaved to each other.
Absolutely.
Whether or not they were living together or otherwise, they were legally enslaved.
And I think that will be very hard for today's, the younger generation of today to kind of even wrap their heads around that you had no choice. But I would, I suppose, focus on what we have done to improve all of that.
It was quite a harsh set of rules at the beginning in terms of how long people were apart and how they might live apart. And that has all been tweaked a bit.
Yes, in recent years, 2019, we changed the wait time. I suppose we cut it in half down to 2 years, which was significant. And that in itself reduced an awful lot of stress that was involved with the breakup, with the duration. But in 2017, the Mediation Act was enacted, and that significantly changed how we can deal with our separation.
Now, I want to talk about mediation and how effective that can be in a moment. But just to get down to some of the nitty gritty, I mean, the idea of, for example, living in the same house and being deemed to be living apart. That was a concept, I suppose, tested in the divorce courts more than anything else.
Yes.
Because people couldn't afford two different buildings.
And still can to a big degree. It's still a huge issue that economically to create two homes out of one. And very often, you know, obviously with the 5 year, the 4 out of 5 years you had to wait was significant, and that has reduced to two. Mm. But we still see couples economically dealing with suffering because it's so hard to achieve.
Now, the other tweak that was brought about, and again, probably tested in the divorce courts, was the question of if you have to be apart for a couple of years and now, but 4 years then, the idea that, well, that won't encourage people to try again. So the idea was, well, you can actually try again and then resume your separation. It can be a cumulative separation.
Yes, I suppose what you're getting at was you had to prove that you were not acting as a marital couple under the same roof. It was never about being in two separate homes, but it was about being able to...
No, but that idea that you split up for 3 months and then you say, actually, we'll have a go again. The clock doesn't have to start again for your 2 years or your 4 years as it was.
Well, if you were seen to be acting as a married couple, it would have to start
I remember
again.
This was a big discussion at the time as to whether or not it would disincentivize people from having a go at making it work.
Yeah, well, obviously that is down to the individual cases, and some would benefit them to say, no, we really weren't acting as a couple, and others who didn't want it would say that we are. So that was, you know, allowing them to build a case, I suppose.
Now, mediation, the Mediation Act coming in, how did that change things?
Okay, so the Mediation Act, really, I suppose you could, there's so many aspects, but you could say it hugely reduced costs, which would be a huge factor for all couples. But it gave them some a power of control, confidentiality, and it focused primarily on the children. Along with our mediation, we're dealing with parenting and we're dealing with all aspects of separation within the mediation. But it is completely changing how we're dealing with divorce. It's taking away that need for a case. So traditionally, we've been dealing with, I'll see you in court, and we will, you know, see what he has done, what she has done. We will build as bad a case as we can. The mediation
now,
removes
this to me is mystifying, because we have in this jurisdiction no fault divorce. So why should these matters ever be ventilated in court if there is no fault? We want to split up. That's it. End of.
Absolutely my point, Pat. And that doesn't seem to stop the amount of cases that are being drawn up. And we know that so many of these cases, the time is taken to build them up. The heat is ramped up in the conflict. Conflicts which are natural. Heartbreak which happens is absolutely ramped up because we want to build these cases at no end. Because you're correct, we live in a no-fault society.
It's not going to change, if you like, the financial deal at the end of it just because he is a bounder or she is whatever. But there is one aspect of this which might be important. If past behavior is an indicator of potential future behavior, if someone has been, you know, cruel to the kids or has done terrible things that are unacceptable, a judge in a court might take that into account in deciding custody and access and all of those kind of things.
Absolutely. There are certain cases that need a judge to determine what's going on, whereby there's cruelty to children or cases that have any criminal elements in them. They're what you want to see in front of the judge.
Or people, for example, who haven't honoured financial obligations, leaving their spouse broke all the time, and then you're expecting this guy to honour, and it's normally a man, to honour the payment schedule that might be laid down by a divorce court, when in fact he hasn't even honoured his normal obligations to put bread on the table.
And it's those cases that a judge will adjudicate on. But the very nature of the breakdown of a marriage that is conflict can be exacerbated by these cases being made. So we want to say, look, the sensible way about it is to change the format and how we deal with divorce, to take away the need for to build a case. As you say, we live in a no-fault society. We live in, the legislation is there. And we know the vast majority of these cases, through protracted cases that take years and cause so much distress and so much distress to the children and the parties, are actually settled on the steps of the court. We do so much horse trading between legal teams in the courts in Ireland that they're not even heard, that they're settled.
And yet a lot of expenses have been built up in
Years in the intervening time with back and forth.
Can you be forced into mediation? Because it would seem that you shouldn't even get into the High Court to sort out a marriage unless you've tried mediation.
No, unfortunately, mediation is not mandatory. Now, I believe mediation, especially where children are involved, should be mandatory. We need to take a social, you know, standing and have a responsibility to say that because of the damage that's involved, these cases should be. However, we have legislation in place which currently legally obliges every solicitor in the country to advise their clients to mediate. And the judges are taking that very seriously. And whereby a solicitor has not fulfilled his obligation to advise that client to mediate, that case can be put on pause until such time as the mediation has been recommended. And judges are getting very cross with people who are not using the facility of mediation.
Now, the process of mediation is not like you put the two people in the room with the mediator and they, you know, they duke it out with each other. The mediator normally goes from one party, then back to the other, then back to the first party, then back to the other, back and forward until they approach a point of agreement.
With mediation for separating couples, I will always meet with the couples individually. Most mediators will meet with them individually to begin with and have at least one meeting with each party individually. Whereby that case is suitable for the parties to come together, they may, or it can be done in separate meetings. But ultimately, it's about taking the heat out of it and getting the involvement of the parties to create the agreement.
I presume it's less expensive.
And it is far less expensive.
Now, talk to me about prenups. Should we have prenups?
Absolutely, we should have prenups. Currently, we have no legislation in place to recognise prenups, and there are no downsides to this, Pat. I think, you know, pretty much like the 1996 Divorce Act, people's fear was that everybody was going to run out and get a divorce. You know, having legislation in place recognising prenuptial agreements does not mean that we're all going to run out and get prenuptial agreements, but it needs to be there. The age bracket, Pat, where people are separating and divorcing in Ireland is between 45 and 55. And these people, if they're considering remarrying, should have the option to have a prenuptial agreement in place with their person they're marrying when they're going into it. And currently we don't have that in place. It would do nothing but reduce what's happening in the courts in Ireland.
Now, the final aspect of all of this is the never-ending aspect of Irish divorce, where you can keep going back to the well if circumstances change. Do we need to have finality in Irish divorce?
Absolutely, but we do have finality. We have what's called in full and final settlement when we legally separate in Ireland. The idea that we can go back to the well, in my experience, and I've experienced,
I know people don't
years,
do well necessarily when they go back to the well, but they can.
Technically they can, but there is no appetite for that to be readdressed within the courts. There would have to be very circumstantial, you know, reasons for that. It isn't something that there's an appetite for at all, and it can be really, really costly. And, you know, for what reasons, when we have created an agreement in full and final settlement.
Michelle Brown, divorce mediator, family mediation specialist and author of Scars of Divorce. Michelle, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.